Welcome all you are visiting with us today. Also, happy day for all you who are Irish. And I was given that I talked to the people, we didn't have a singer. You have the choice. No singer, or I sing. They chose no singer. And I'm only half Irish. The other half is English. The English and the Irish never get along. If I'm weird, that's why. My mother, who is Irish, didn't let me know that I wasn't all Irish until I was 11 years old. Poor dad. Anyway, happy Irish Day for everybody. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Your ascent to the contrite of heart, Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners, Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. By your help we beseech you, Lord our God. May we walk eagerly in the same love with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. For our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And be seated now to listen to the Word of God.
The first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Now the next reading.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I forgot to mention that after the Mass is over, our youth group was just after their 30-hour famine, and they're going to be taking collection for people who are starving, all many good kinds. They'll be somewhere in the church. I'm not exactly where, but I'm sure they'll be where you can find them. And any donations you give to them, they will be giving to those who are really greatly in need. So please stand now for the gospel. With you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had been come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for life eternal. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now. Now what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it's for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment of this world. Now the world of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated now. We've been talking about the seven capital sins. The names of these are not the energies, they're all good. But the names, and this one is going to be greed. In other words, it's the need, the want for money. That of itself is something which is good. Because we have to do some kinds of things or our family's going to be fed, we're going to have a decent place to live and so on. That is the good use of the desire to have money and means and so on. Remember, all of these underneath are good. The names that are put on there are just meaning the way these are misused. A lot of times people say, the scriptures say, money is the root of all evil. That is not what the scriptures say. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. And what is this saying? Money is something which can overcome us. So we go beyond working for money, which is necessary for our family, for the good of the community, and things like that. But it becomes an addiction. Just like alcohol is an addiction. If we're alcoholic, if we have that problem inside of us, our brain keeps saying to us, "Oh, a couple drinks won't hurt, you know. I've been sober for a whole week." And the brain keeps saying, It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That is why it's so hard to get out of that addiction. This is true with money too. Money can become an addiction. Well, I only have $40 million, but I got this opportunity to make $10 million more. Maybe a little shady. It's only $10 million. See, the brain keeps saying, it's really okay. It's really okay. Once the addiction is there, it's all right. The brain keeps saying, that's why it's so hard when we have addictions. And that's what the love of money means when we're addicted to it. And we need more and more, whether it's needed, not needed, even perhaps if it's something which causes harm and so on, that part of the brain is saying, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. So remember, all of these strong energies, we need the love of God to help us to use them well. And for example, like if we, like the youth are doing right today, to give money to this is to help people who don't have much of anything, who don't have enough to eat. I remember this missionary was here, and he said one time, he talked to a little boy. He said, what did you have to eat today? He said, oh, today's not my day to eat, my day to eat. I don't get to eat until tomorrow. Most of us don't have that. Every other day. And there's some places where they don't even give it, never get it every other day. This is why we talk. See, money can be used for virtue and good to help people in need. But it's so easy to get caught up. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't get enough to take care of our family and ourselves in a decent kind of way. But at the same time, stop and think. There are people who are starving. People who don't have much of anything. No bed to sleep in. And we say, maybe I could use some of my money for somebody who needs it much more than I do. And this is not to put guilt on or anything like that. Guilt, I don't believe in guilt. But it's just say, so we keep things in perspective. We use all of these energies that God has given us, but use them in a way which is valuable for ourselves and necessary, but it's so easy to go overboard. Not because we're bad. It's because all of these things are addictive. And once we get into that process, our brain keeps saying, keep doing it, keep doing it. Don't pay any attention to whether it hurts or not, anybody or not. That's why it's so hard, so hard. So thank you to Youth Group, because you're going to be used this. You're getting money. We're good. To help people who don't have a nickel to themselves. You see, when we do these things, what also is important, that we do it out of love. Like if I do it, I'll kind of look good, you know. People think, oh my, isn't Father Clay generous? There's no love in that. In other words, we do it, these are people, our whole goal in life is to allow God to help us become merciful love. That's the whole story of Christianity, merciful love, which means we do good, whatever kind it might be, not because we get famous, not because people think we're wonderful, but only we love. We need to give mercy to the people who need it. And as we allow God to help us become more and more like that, that is what it means to be a Christian. It's rather simple, but it's hard. It's hard. That's why we pray. Say, God, help me with this. Because we can't do it by ourselves. That's why we receive communion. It's not to fulfill a duty or anything like that. It's because as that love comes in to us, when we open our hearts and minds at communion, to become for God to help us to become that kind of love, merciful love. That's the name of God. And that is what comes to us when we allow God to do it in us. So we just pray for a moment now. Let's close our eyes and be quiet. And imagine that our loving God is looking at us and loving us. And God obviously doesn't look with eyes, but God knows and sees and wants to be with us because we are God's kids. God loves to be with us more than we love to be with God. God wants us, knows all of it, but God wants, tell me, what's going on in your life? Tell me what's hard for you. I want your permission to help you with that, and I won't force it on you. Tell me what's going well. Tell me the ways you've done wrong. Tell me what's hard. Tell me about your sorrow. But just for a moment, all of you, all of us, let us tell that love that God is what's important to us right now. Amen. And let us remember the legend of St. John the Apostle when he's dragged in a makeshift some kind of sling to talk to the people. And he got there, they're all ecstatic that John the Apostle's here to talk to us. And John says, little children, love one another. And then he said, now carry me out. He did this over and over and over again, saying the same thing. And finally somebody said, John, why is that the only thing you ever say? John says, it's the only thing that really matters. Little children, love one another. God bless you. Please stand now, we'll have to say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father.